Hello, this is John McCormick, the pastor of Crosswork Christian Center in Round Rock, Texas, and welcome back to The Quarter with Christ 2.0. As you know, we are studying Ephesians, and today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. It is our hope that we can get through the first 16 verses of Ephesians chapter 4, but if not, we will get as far as our 15 minutes will allow us. So if you will now turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, let us begin reading. We will cover the first 6 verses of chapter 4 and see what Paul has to say in those verses, because they're packed with very rich information. And then we will resume our reading at verse 7, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. Now, my brothers and sisters, these first 6 verses have some very rich information, and I'd like to see if we can uncover some of that, because I think it will help us as we continue Paul's study of this letter. The first thing that we notice is that Paul is really challenging the members of the church to live or lead a life that's worthy of their calling. I'm going to suggest to you that this really requires at least 4 things if you're going to lead and live a life worthy of your calling. The first thing is you must acknowledge and be aware of a call from God. This requires the acknowledgement and recognition that God has called each of us to do something. Now, you may be wondering, what is it that God has called you to do? And we'll talk about that in a little bit, because I've got some information and some challenges that I want to give you if you don't know yet what you've been called to do. But if you're going to lead and live a life worthy of your calling, you first have to acknowledge and be aware that God has called you. Now, the next thing you need to do is accept the call. And please understand, accepting the call means that we are not all called to do the same thing the same way. We have different personalities and skill sets. Now, here is where I really need for you to pay attention. Some of us may have the same gift, but God has given us different variations of that gift that is unique and specific to us as individuals. What do I mean by that? Well, let me confess to you that I'm a jazz music lover. I absolutely love both classic jazz as well as smooth jazz. And over the years, I feel that I've developed somewhat of an ear for appreciating jazz and identifying different jazz musicians. Let me give you an example. I love the saxophone. I can't play it, but I love to hear it. And as a result of that, there are several saxophonists that I really love to hear. When I hear them, though, I hear each of them, and even though they play the same instrument, if you will, they have different, each of them has a different tone or sound that is unique to them. For instance, I love Kirk Whalum. I also love Huge Groove, Gerald Albright, and David Sanborn. If I could, I would play a sample of each of those musicians or saxophonists playing their instruments. And although they will be playing the same instrument, they will each sound differently. In fact, when I listen to Kirk Whalum, I can tell Kirk Whalum from Huge Groove, from Gerald Albright, from David Sanborn. They could all be playing the same music, but they each have a specific and unique sound. What I'm trying to tell you is that God may have called you or given you a gift that is similar or the same as someone else's gift, but yet God has taken the time to carefully give you a different variation of that gift. and God intends for you to use that gift. Now, why am I spending time here? Because sometimes we get intimidated. We have a skill set and we see someone else in the church that has the exact skill set. And we think that maybe their skill set is a little more developed than ours. And so we decide, well, rather than exercising the gift that God has given us, we will just sit in the pews and do nothing. That is absolutely wrong. That is not what God has intended. Please understand that even if you have the same skill set as someone else, you have a variation that is separate and distinct from anyone else in that church. And God has carved out a space for you to use that gift. So let's review. You first have to acknowledge or be aware of a call from God. You next have to accept that call. That means that God has called you and given you a gift to use. And then this is the third part that many people trip up on, and I need to spend some time here. And that is that you have to acknowledge that God cares enough about you to even give you a gift. You see, this is where the weapon of discouragement often comes in that the enemy likes to use. You may think that you have absolutely nothing to offer. That's a lie born straight out of hell. You have something to offer. God has given you something, given you a specific skill set that God intends for you to use. And what that means is God cares enough about you to give you something that you can use to help build his kingdom. God is willing to make a tremendous investment in you by giving you a gift. So please use it. The next thing you have to do is you have to be committed to the gift or the call that you have. That means you must accept the call and gift and be willing to use it to honor God. Now, I don't know, maybe there are a few people in here who are listening to this Bible study now and going, well, that's all fine and that's all good information, Pastor, but I really don't know what my gift is. I don't know what I've been called to do. And so if that's you, then let me challenge you, especially if you've been walking this journey for an extended period of time. I'm going to submit to you that if you have been walking this journey for an extended period of time and you still don't know what your gift or skill set is, then one of the following has occurred. Now, this is going to get a little personal, so please be ready for it. The first thing is, you're not seeking it. If you've been walking with the Lord and you still don't for a long time and you still don't know what your gift is, I'm going to submit to you that perhaps you've not been spending time looking for it. That really would do whatever it takes to do that, including slowing down and praying and asking God to reveal to you what gift God has for you. So if that's not the case, if you are looking and you don't think you found it, then the next thing could be happening, and that is that you've overlooked it. You're going too fast. You're glossing over it. What do you do there? You stop, take your time, go back, pray, and ask God to reveal to you where your gift is. Well, maybe it's not that you are not seeking it. You're actually seeking it. And it's not that you have overlooked it. You haven't overlooked it. You know what it is. It's that you do not like or want what has been shown to you. Ooh, ouch. I know that hurts. In other words, you know exactly what your gift is. God has shown you that gift. Yet for whatever reason, you don't like what you've been shown, or you don't want what has been shown to you. Now that's tough, my brothers and sisters, but that's a reality for a number of us. If we were to be honest with ourselves and honest with God, we do know the gifts that God has given us. We do know what the skill sets are that God has given us. We just don't want, or we don't like what we've been shown. God, that's not me. That's not what I really want to do. I'd like to do this, like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. God, I don't really like that gift because that gift puts me up front in front of people and I'm shy and introverted and I don't want to be exposed like that. God, that gift is not big enough. I'm kind of ego-driven, and so I need to be up front in front of people so that all can see what I can do. And the gift that you've given me actually is a gift that cannot be or is not visible most of the time. And so I'm not really pleased with the gift that you've given me. Now, let's be honest. There are some of you who are listening to this particular podcast, this episode, who fall into this category of not really knowing what God has called you to do. And I have stepped on a nerve, and this nerve is really exposed. And in fact, you are probably tempted to cut off the episode right now because you're angry. Well, if you are angry, especially at the last point that I raised, then it probably means that this is you. But it's not too late. Please understand that whatever gift God has given you, that's the gift you need to use. It's not about want or not about like. It's about God's omniscience and God's sovereignty. And it's about what contributions you can make to the kingdom. So I'm going to challenge you now. If you don't know what God has called you to do and you've been walking with God for an extended period of time, then maybe one of these three things or conditions that I've mentioned applies to you. There's one more here, and that is you're simply not looking hard enough. It's not that you don't want or like what God has given you. You just don't want to look for a gift. Because looking for a gift means you might actually find it. And actually finding it means you will be compelled to use it. I'm spending a lot of time here, and I can tell we're not going to get past the first six verses of this particular chapter, but I really need for someone to hear what I am saying to you. God has given you a gift. And this is one thing that I do know for sure. God will not withhold a gift from you if you are earnestly seeking it. Now, let me cover one other population here, and that is the population of new believers. Maybe you are new to the faith and you're saying, I honestly, Pastor, don't know what my gift is. And that's okay. You've got time. I would just tell you that what you ought to do in that instance is to pray and ask God to reveal what the gift is that God has given you, or gifts. Maybe he's given you more than one gift. But don't fret because of your recent relationship with God. Walk the journey with him, study, and pray, and God will reveal it to you. Now, I hope you've noticed that there has been a common theme through this part of the Bible study, regardless to which of these categories you may fall in if you don't know what your gift is, and that is you've got to pray and ask God to help and lead you. So let's really review right now. Paul's challenge is to live or lead a life worthy of your calling, which really means to use your gift. So you have to acknowledge and be aware of a call from God. You have to accept that call. You have to also understand and acknowledge that God cares enough about you to give you a gift or give you a call, and you have to be committed to that call. I don't know who I'm speaking to now, but hopefully this will challenge you to raise your game to the next level, because God needs for you to do something in his kingdom, and he's waiting for you to do it. Well, this is a good time to stop. We'll pick up in the next episode with some attributes that Paul is pushing that each of the believers in the church must have. But we'll pick that up at the next episode, and I will do my best to speed up a little bit. But I really felt the need to slow down and sort of dive into this part of the first few verses of chapter 4 because they will help someone listening to this podcast now. Thank you again for listening. Please do me a favor and invite someone else to or share this particular episode with someone else. Maybe you know of a person who has a gift who's not using their gift. Maybe this particular episode would challenge them to do it. So please share it and tune in next time for the next episode as we will continue our study of chapter 4 and what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus. Please remember to continue to study the Word. The more you study the Word, the more the Word becomes a part of you. Have a great day.